Welcome to the Prime People Podcast, where we cover all things that got us to where we are today, our team building strategies, the marketing and sales tips that we've learned through thousands of transactions, productivity tips, ways to really just hold yourself accountable to accomplishing what you want to accomplish, and all things content creation, personal development, and not to mention we have some of the best guests on the planet.
Oh my gosh, I am very excited. I have the one and only Tom Story on the Prime People Podcast today. Amidst all your national press headlines, your YouTube videos, the business and the team that you're running, my man, I appreciate you making the time to be here.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so I met you actually live in person at the Buzz Conference. You were emceeing it. It was nice to actually connect with you there, but I've known you for a while on the digitals. I think, you know, where you came on my radar was definitely the delivery of value in your YouTube content. And I was following that journey from early on. It's evolved and looks like you're doing a ton of business off YouTube. Can you give the listeners and the viewers a little snapshot of your story?
Yeah. So I would say I've been uploading market updates to YouTube from 2015, but kind of like uploading them into the abyss. They went to YouTube. No one saw them. I only put them on YouTube because it meant they would show up on my website. I could easily put them on my website because you had the YouTube, you know, embedded. That was basically the thought process. And then it was really kind of like midway through the pandemic when we were looking at new opportunities to bring in business. And I was talking to a few other people that were getting really good results. I'm like, okay, why don't I just go all in on this? So end of 2021 actually was when we got monetized on YouTube, meaning you pass 1,000 subscribers and I think it's 4,000 watch hours or something. And YouTube's paid me like, you know, a few grand over the last few years, but that's not why you do it, right? That's just pays for some microphones and whatnot. And then I started being consistent with it, put out two videos a week, very consistently, built up a following. You know, we're now almost at 10,000 people that subscribe to us, which doesn't sound that impressive compared to like TikTok and stuff, but on YouTube, that's like a pretty reasonable audience. And then we started shifting it from just market updates to, you know, here are my top 10 favorite condos. Here's why, like very like informative, opinionated type of stuff. And then now taking it to super long form, 45 minute guides on how to buy a condo in Toronto or whatever it is, right? And yeah, tons of people are reaching out. Last year, we sold 27 properties from YouTube. This year, we're on track to pass that. And it's, at least in my experience, the best type of online business I've ever seen.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we've been on multiple platforms and the quality of the people that come off YouTube, I was at an appointment the other day and they're like, yeah, we've been following you for like 2 years and where do we sign? Right? Like what's your commission? And okay, it just is what it is. There wasn't like, hey, we're going to discount you or anything too. So how is that different from other lead sources for you?
Yeah. So I would actually say it almost rivals past clients in terms of like the non-salesy. It's not like, hey, I'm bringing you here today to ask you all these questions. It's more just like, I'm coming. We're going to talk about how to make this happen. Like the sales approach is gone. It's so funny even saying this stuff because it sounds weird, but like I have people weekly telling me how excited they are just to talk to me or they can't believe they're talking to me, which is such like a crazy thing because I've always made videos in my basement. The studio's gotten nicer. The microphone's gotten more expensive. The camera's gotten better quality, but it's just, you know, I'm just sitting here talking to a lens, which is so weird. So yeah, the quality, and they've done their research. They're the type of people that are usually analytical. They've watched my hour videos going over everything they need to know. They're referencing things back to it. And they're just excited to work with you, which is totally different from what we learn of what online leads typically are, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the contrast between a Facebook lead where it's like, you'll get either, I hate you, don't ever call me again. You know, why are you calling me? Well, you filled out a form. And, you know, it's this weird dynamic to somebody who feels like they know you or that, you know, digital celebrity status. You've done a really good job though of being humble and staying yourself. I've seen other people that got a little bit of clout on TikTok or Instagram and all of a sudden, like they're a caricature of themselves. How have you maintained like just being a regular guy and very accessible?
Yeah. It's funny. Actually, the first real estate coaching I ever did, my first call, my coach is Bill Parnaby. I love that guy. And, he said to me, because I was 20, this must have been 7 or 8 years ago. And he's like, I'm going to show you how to build a business, but I'm also going to show you how to not become an asshole.
There you go.
That's and the answer. So that's like that. That always stuck with me. I'm like, this can go away at any moment. Yeah, sure. I get to go on the news and I've had some spotlight on me for that. That can be taken away at any moment. Like I'm lucky for those opportunities. I take them seriously. And more than anything, like you talk about with people that blow up on TikTok or whatever, get these videos that take off. It's like, great. Did anyone reach out to you about buying or selling a home because of it? Because otherwise, like my favorite line recently is like, you want to fill your ego or you want to fill your bank account? Yeah. And not to say that we just meet people and we see dollar signs on them, but sure. We run a business. You have to understand why you're doing the thing that you're doing. If you just want to become internet famous, go for it. But I'm trying to build a business.
Yeah, that's a great mentality. I went through a time over the last 12 months where I found, you know, last year I started getting all these speaking opportunities and I started doing them. And I'm like, yeah. And I talked to my wife about it. I was like, we don't recruit. We're not an agent count or office count brokerage. I'm not competing with a single brokerage out there that's expanding or even a team that's recruiting because we're not built for that. I was like, you know, why am I doing this? Right. And I really started saying no to certain things. For two reasons. One, I saw some people that were becoming caricatures of themselves and treating people because they were in that ecosystem and it was weird and it just not my vibe. But then I was like, no, I can do it in certain instances for people that I truly think are good people. Yep. And like I'll co-sign certain events and that's worth something. But I think it speaks to what you're talking about. Again, really concise on tracking, is my time deployed against serving the right people, not necessarily commodifying them and creating a number on a spreadsheet and saying you're going to make me X dollars, but finding the people you actually want to serve, right?
100%. And like when it started with me with the speaking stuff, I would do a lot of stuff for free or they would give me a pitch at the end to sell my video course. That was how it started. Sure. And then it was like, okay, I'm getting asked a lot and they want me to drive places now. Okay, now I have a fee. Like now this is the fee. And then now it's like, hey, can you come out to like this place 2 hours from Toronto? I'm like, I could, but here's like, I want to come. I do, but like, I run a business over here. I'm not just this guy that does videos. Like our team consistently sells over 100 properties a year. We don't mess around. That everything else I do is for that.
Yeah.
You know? And so, now it has worked out really well. Cause it's like what you think you're going to get out of something isn't always what you get out of it. So when I started doing video, the thought process was I make monthly market update videos. So my database sees me talk about the market. I stay top of mind and they tell their friends about me. Like that was the only thought.
Yeah.
But then what actually happened first is other realtors from other markets saw me talking about the market, trusted that I knew what I was talking about in Toronto and started referring me their clients.
100%.
So it's just this weird thing where you never really know what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
But I've got a 1.5-year-old now and my lifestyle is different than it was before. And you got to kind of pick and choose.
Yeah, no, I think there's different times, right? Like you and I, when we both started in the business, we probably had a lot of time, not a lot of skill or money. You deploy time against, you know, getting skill, and then you have more money than you have time. And you got to balance those three. But I do think that there's a great through line that you highlighted there that people need to not commodify the transaction or the investment in time because you don't know the opportunities that are going to open because you're in a room of 200 people and one person sees you say something and then that opens up another opportunity. And like you said, you thought you're talking to consumers. Meanwhile, agents end up referring you more business. Yeah. From a referral pipeline perspective, getting tactical for some of the people listening,
sure.
Like you'll have YouTube, you'll have past clients. I'm sure your media definitely helps. How does the agent referral network like look like in terms of contribution to your overall success?
Yeah. So if I break down our business on like, where does every transaction come from, right? The obvious one is the repeat and the referral, which you can figure out. And when I say referral, I mean referral from database, right? Like a direct referral from a client we've worked with before, someone that we knew. So those would be the first two. Then my second biggest one would actually be the agent to agent referral, the B2B network. That is if I look at my Instagram following, it's 85% real estate agents that follow me. So I actually consciously make content on there for real estate agents without saying like, hey, real estate agents, listen to this. But I know who my audience is and how many people come in through DMs to start and then refer me to their clients. It's like crazy. Like it's probably like 25% of our business now.
So let's help this guy out. Not that he needs any more followers, but this is Tom's Instagram. So it's at the Story Team. Is this your main account?
This is the main account. Yeah.
Yeah. McGilvery Trusted. That's right. You're part of the family.
Yeah,
that's
man. Awesome. Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's awesome. We got to do something. Actually, I'm working on a fun little project. I'm going to add your name to a list of people I'm going to invite to a very, very select event that I'm going to be hosting in my market.
Okay. Maybe
I'll do it in Grand Bend in the summer. Get some beach time for you guys. But yeah, no, your content's great. And the reason I want to share this too, Brad's my boy as well. That's awesome.
Yeah. We all run in the same circle, eh? Like we all.
Iron sharpens iron. I think getting around people that inspire you is key. And that's what I was going to share. Like when I look at your content here and on YouTube, like I get inspired on it. I never would look at your content or suggest anybody say, hey, go rip off Tom's videos and try and be Tom. But it's beautiful to watch as a creator and say, like, how does he kick it off? Like, what is the science behind his videos? And then say, look at the formula and say, okay, now I'm going to do it in the way that I do it with my perspective for my market because it's completely different. Big scarcity mindset I think people have on YouTube. Well, Tom's doing it or Tom succeeding is taking away from me. What's your mindset when you look at competition on, say, YouTube?
I actually don't think so it's a really good question. When you look at people making YouTube videos on the real estate market in your local market, there's two paths you can take. You can take the educational, try to be to your best non-bias on the information and share it and talk about it and try to help people and tell them what's been working for you. Or you can take the every single thing that I post is negative and you're going to your egos and your dopamine.
Yeah. It's,
these channels grow way faster, they way do. Faster.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
There's a lot of them. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I don't think many of those people actually sell too much real estate for a living. I think they've fallen into this trap of, hey, if this makes them happy, by all means, do your thing.
Pause, because this is a really important conversation, right? Like, I'm going to say a name. I don't want to get demonetized, but whatever. Andrew Tate, for example, right? Like, he grew his account insanely fast using the Traeger economics, right? Regardless of the content, the information in it, whether you agree or you disagree, the science behind that is becoming a caricature of a human being, saying things that are going to upset people, which feeds the algorithm. You know, a lot of people that I had seen previously that were their little icons on Twitter were all about crypto are now macroeconomists, right? Yeah. And they're talking about the crazy housing market and the crash of it. Like, you see people get caught in this trap. It's like you said, are you actually doing business from it or we just grew an account really, really quickly, right? I think that's an interesting conversation.
And I think what has happened, not any person in specific, but like the biggest accounts for Canadian real estate, whether that be on Twitter or YouTube or whatever, are not the people actively in the market. If that does that make sense? Like, they're not to say they don't do anything, but they're not the top producers. Now, maybe there's something to be said, like, you don't have to have played hockey to be an amazing coach in the NHL, you know? Like, so maybe there's that as well. And they've just taken a different path, right?
I think where my brain's going with this is, you know, like YouTube, people think subscriber count is the metric. So I think it's the same conversation. Like, if you're basing the information you're getting from somebody on their subscriber count, you may be missing a depth of quality of conversation from people that are actually doing the thing, right? And I think that's really what you're highlighting is stop paying attention to the vanity metrics because they are not the key indicator of success. The key indicator of success is typically the quality of business. And I would argue the reputation of that person beyond just the sales count, right?
Yeah, like we've figured out I can figure out how to get a lot of views on YouTube if I really wanted to. I've also made the decision that I don't want the entire audience. I want the people that find my stuff helpful. And if someone watches my video and it makes them mad, I don't want them to be, they can be there if they want, but that's not what I'm trying to do. Right. And you know, you try to please everybody, you please nobody, anyways. So then I've taken like right now, if I were to break down, okay, what's actually working on YouTube to grow a channel, not just subscribers, but views. People show up and watch it. If you don't want to just go down the negative path of like, trust me, people will show up, but then it's not necessarily the audience that you want, right? First one would be market update videos. So boring, to the point, but they people love it. I ran a poll on my channel asking like, what's your favorite type of video I put out? And 80% said market update videos, which
stats or no stats in the videos?
Stats, but not reading the stats, talking about what you're actually seeing.
Interesting.
Giving real life scenarios of what's going on, leaving out names and property addresses, right? And having, saying what you're talking about with your colleagues and like sharing stories, like building the story into it. Then you'd have the list videos, you know, here's the top 10, here's the top 5 reasons to move to this community. Or like, I literally have one going out today called the top 10 condos in downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
And the first 10 seconds of the video, I'm like, this is literally my opinion. Like this, I want the comment section to be all the other condos you love so the viewers can go check out what your opinion is, right?
Interesting. And you're also like the science behind that is you're getting a ton of engagement and community engagement with the right people, right?
So the way that video would start off is like, I'll tell them what they're about to watch. Like, you know, on today's video, I'm going to talk about the top 10 condos in Toronto. Before I go any further, I want to know, let me know in the comments, what's your favorite condo building in Toronto? Pause the video.
You know, like, I keep cutting Tom off because I'm getting excited about this conversation. It's very organic. I'm shooting my market update video after this.
Okay.
So the next one you see on the Prime Brokerage channel is going to be Tom inspired. I like that, like the engagement conversation with them too. So if you don't see me looking at the camera on YouTube, I'm writing on my remarkable tablet as this guy's talking.
Yeah. So basically what we're doing is I will be very clear. Here's what we're going to talk about, right? Hit them with the subject. Let me know what you think about this. Even if you have to pause the video, go to the comments and let me know how you feel about whatever this is that I'm talking about, right? Then a very casual call to action. Hey, my name's Tom. I run a real estate team here in Toronto. If you like this content, hit like on this video. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe and join our community. And then the biggest one as a business owner is that casual. And if you watch this video and you have any specific questions for me or my team, you can go into the first link in the description. You can book a buyer call, a seller call, or a discovery call with me at a time that works for you. Done. And now it's into the content. No more, nothing. And I know it's a call to action. I know it's technically a sales pitch, but I feel like I've done it so often that it comes off as a casual, like, yeah, hey, whenever you're ready, links below. And that's what gets me the appointments. That's what gets me the buyers and sellers from YouTube.
So the way you just explained it, though, I think the reason it feels so organic is because it is.
Yeah.
Like, it may not have been in the beginning, but the more you say it, you know that that trigger is going to happen when you're shooting your video. Same as when I do a listing video. You know, I'm always mentioning, depending on the market that I'm in, stories and case studies. I sold a house down the street by the same builder. This has twice the amount of land. Oh my gosh. And wait until the end of the video because I'm going to meet you on my favorite view of this property. Like, you can do it in a human, organic, exciting way while also valuing the audience, but you're digging in and giving some secrets here in terms of like what you've learned. So like I said, sub counts don't matter as much. The retention does though, right? So like keeping people in the video definitely makes a huge difference. So what are some things you've learned to help people stay on your videos?
So the first thing would be something that I haven't done as much, but I should be doing in that first 30 seconds where I'm like, hey, today we're going to talk about the top 10 condos in Toronto. There should be text, large text, putting captions of what you're saying in that first 10 to 15 seconds of the video because it's engaging. It doesn't have to be the entire video, but the beginning, like get them to be like, okay, yeah, this is what we're going to do. That's the first one. And then I find that the hack that's been working really well for me, because I don't script any of these out, right? I just kind of talk. My program I use is Ecamm Live. It's a Mac program for podcasting and stuff, but it lets me share my screen, same program I'm using here. So I'm talking and then I'm sharing my screen to the market data, or I've made this little presentation and I'm just talking about what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And there's something about somebody looking at something, talking about it when you're looking at them. It sounds weird to say, but you know, the gaming channels where people are playing games and they're talking to you when they're playing games. It's kind of like we're doing it together. We're going through this together.
So they're
engaged and I don't need a script. I can just talk about what I'm looking at. And I know what I'm talking about. I look at these numbers, right? Like you should know. And I think it makes you a better realtor because you have to look at the numbers.
Yeah, without a doubt. I did a little video for my team this morning. I was like, this is how I do a market or a seller update in terms of like quick CMA, 3-up report. Here's what's selling in your area. Here's your price per square foot, all that jazz. But at the end, when I finished it, I told them, I'm like, guess what that just did? I'm like, guess who knows Sunningdale better than anybody? Me. because I just did that thing, right? So like that's the other through line, is the consistent action over time makes you an expert in the thing that you actually love to do anyways. And it all compounds. So yeah, you're creating content. Yes, you're getting appointments. Yes, you're making money. You're building relationships. But it all stacks together in a way that it's not overwhelming. Because I think another thing that people get paralyzed with when it comes to this stuff, it's overwhelming. I got to script the video. It's got to be perfect. I got to get the camera. Got to get the equipment. Like, it sounds like you. It's actually not that much. It's a lot of effort, but it's not at this point because of that, right?
Honestly, at this point, I can have an idea, sit down, record for 10 minutes in a row. Takes me 25 minutes to edit it, and it's on YouTube in an hour. Like, but that's because I have a camera, I have a teleprompter, my computer's here. I don't like you probably, my memory, there's no memory card in my camera. Everything goes to my computer. Sure. I got lights here. I click one button, they turn on, the microphone's here. I just talk. Like, it's, you need to have a stationary setup of some capacity to really, really do it. And then you just do it time and time again. And the, actually something recently, if you want to keep retention even longer, I used to have this little outro music at the end of my videos.
Yeah.
But when people heard it, they knew the video was about to end and they'd leave.
Wow.
So now my videos, I don't know if you've noticed, they end quick. It's like, I'm talking about something. I'm like, thank you so much for watching. My name's Tom, and home is where your story begins. And then boom, because they, otherwise it would have been 30 seconds. They would have left already.
And I wonder if YouTube is like, there's probably a metric there saying, well, if somebody watched the entirety of this video, it's a banger, right? Like if they waited till the very end. And I always do, I'll do it at the end of this episode. Typically is I do a little subscribe caption thing. People usually bounce at that, but I'm probably losing 5 seconds. And on the studio piece, it's interesting because this is like my gym that turned into a studio during COVID. I may have a new studio soon. So, you know, I'm excited to set that up so I can press one button, make it very, very simple and not overthink it. But I don't want to let the lesson of you putting in the effort consistently over that time since 2015 blow past people, because I think they can look at you and say, I could never get to that point. But your videos, your first video on YouTube probably wasn't as good as the one you just posted, right? So like,
no,
how would you encourage Tom Story 1.0 to get to the point where you're at today?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, what chapter are you on and what are you comparing it to somebody else's chapter, right? Like I have a presentation I do on video where I show what the Simpsons looked like in season one.
Oh man, I can imagine.
You know, or like the first version of the iPhone. I'm like, if you did this to this, is it the same? No, so don't compare them. Simpsons had 30 years of animation to get to where they are today, and the iPhones had, you know, however many years it's been out now to get to where it is today. So, you know, like for instance, right? Like if I want to do really good listing videos, but I've never done them before. If I just watch one of Brad McCallum's videos, I'm gonna be like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's just no way I can do that, right?
Yeah.
But like, go back to my early videos. Go back, even like the biggest creators you can think of. Go back to Mr. Beast's first videos. He's like sitting on a chair saying someone's name for 4 hours in a row just to get like. You know, he wasn't doing what he's doing now. You always got to start somewhere. So just remember that. And the consistency of it, the patience of it, and then the execution to continue to make it happen. I would actually say I'm an example of like, look, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
I wasn't good at school. I didn't excel in a lot of things in my life until I found this real estate thing and it really started taking off. I just show up. I'm consistent. And it works. You know, and I'm not trying to be a version of myself that I think I'm supposed to be. I'm literally just, I know it sounds so corny to say, but like, I'm just, it's just me. It's me. Mm-hmm. I'm talking, you know, if I say something the wrong way or something, it's okay. It stays in most of the time. I'm just, you know, going to show up and keep doing it.
It's interesting you say that, because I think one of the reasons why, like, I'm very countercultural when it comes to the industry is when I would go to speaking engagements, I'd see people that I hear talk one way behind closed doors and hear talk publicly the other way. And I'm like, it's interesting how the people that maybe get to speak a whole bunch on a whole bunch of different stages are maybe good at that or having a profile in it. But does it actually translate to business? Rarely, because the person that they're showing the public they are doesn't translate to the person they are behind closed doors. And I think that was actually the next segue I was going to ask you about, is when you do get that person that reaches out through YouTube and you book that qualification meeting, how much easier do you think it is to work with that person because you're the same person. Do you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I would actually say making these videos is not only attracting people that think they want to work with us or like my vibe or whatever, but it's stopping the people from reaching out that don't like me.
100%. You know, dequalifying the wrong people, right?
Who knows how much time I've saved myself where, you know, if it was someone else that just came in, you don't have any control. No salesperson is ever just going to, everything's going to be perfect always. You're going to butt heads once in a while, right?
100%. Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm attracting the people that it attracts and I'm disattracting or whatever word I'm trying to find here to say, don't reach out to me. And it's working on the same level.
But I think that's the message is, you know, the person that wants to work with the fear monger, because that makes them excited. Like there's a fear monger out there. Like the person that wants to work at a brokerage where you can't leave paperwork on a printer, they're going to steal your client. Yeah. Like dog eat dog. There's actually places where you'll thrive. If that's your jam, go for it. But I think what you're talking about is refining that sword or that element or that instrument to attract the right quality people so that when you get the person that you will die on that sword for or fight for, it doesn't feel like work and it's not exhausting. And I think there's a lot of streamers. This is a complete segue, but there's streamers out there that I've heard that have built massive followings that completely just want to hang it up and leave because they built these communities that they have to like sustain that are not in alignment with who they are as a person, right?
No. I agree. Like it's such a tricky thing, this whole social media thing and like building an audience and having followers and even like we had done a training course, me and Emma Pace, who if you don't know her, you guys should connect. And it was a boot camp. It's the second one we've done and we had 55 realtors in it. Anyways, we do a dinner at the end, like congratulating all the top people. And even all these people that like I've talked to you before and whatever. We're like, it's so cool to see you guys in person. And I'm like, it's just so crazy that there must be something about ingrained in us, even though it's not a TV anymore, but it's a tablet or an iPad or whatever. If you watch someone on a screen and you feel like you know them and then you get a chance to talk to them in real life, you're like, whoa, like I want, like, you know, I have had clients that reach out that say like, you know, I sit with my husband at our lunch breaks and we watch your videos and take notes.
That's awesome.
Or like we watch your podcast on Sundays, we stream it on the big screen and me and my wife watch. I'm like, that's so weird to think someone's watching you. Like it's cool. I think it's awesome. It's just so weird.
It is. But I also think it's a great way of looking at the future of technology in the world that we're in, right? Because like I make a concerted effort. If I see a video of yours pop up, it goes on my second screen. I watch it from start to finish. I like it. I comment because I also know, A, I want you to see that, right?
Yeah.
I'm supporting my boy. But at the same time, I also know that I'm putting change in your meter, right? If you're at the Grand Bend Strip and your parking meter is going to expire and I see it, I'm going to put a quarter into it. Same thing in YouTube. I'm helping you build a business. And the reciprocation comes like when you introed me and I spoke at Buzz, you said some very kind things about me that you didn't have to. And I think you find a community of people that support you. Now I know Emma, she actually has a listing in Port Stanley, an area that I know very, very well. Yeah. And now I'll send her a DM after, hey, Tom says you're awesome. We should connect. And like, I think you're building this tribe in this community. Is that something, I guess, from a viewership standpoint, as well as like a co-creator standpoint, you've really been intentional about?
Yeah. So the whole reason why I ever did videos was because I was so frustrated as a 23-year-old realtor in downtown Toronto that couldn't get a seat at the table.
For sure.
I was like, what, how can the owner of a condo in Liberty Village or King West, how can they know who I am? Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have much money to spend on marketing. But the clients I had great experience with, and I knew the market and they referred me their friends. I'm like, okay, my issue is the eyeballs. I need more people to know what I do and that I'm good at what I do. So that was video. And my whole thing's always been the visibility beats ability. It doesn't matter how good you are at what you do if nobody knows.
Exactly.
I'm not saying visibility is even more important than ability. It just comes first.
Yeah.
Like,
top of mind consistency, right? Like now that I know she's there, or you're in your market, a mortgage broker that I actually met and I never meet mortgage brokers for lunch, but a guy that's been supporting me on social for the last 3 or 4 months, he shared my content, he messaged me and I'm like, yeah, I'll take that meeting. And we met and now he's top of mind, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that visibility piece is something people need to put effort into for sure.
Well, it's huge. And then through the visibility piece, if you're doing market updates and stuff, you're actually also building your ability on the go, mm-hmm. right? Like on my, in my team meetings, always at the end, we'll just bang off a few like random stats where I went through, I was like, here's something that I can figure out that isn't going to be posted anywhere else. I'm like, this is stuff you have now in your back pocket when you're talking with clients that no one else is talking about right now.
Yeah.
So it makes me better at my job. It helps my team have more information that they can use to help people make decisions when they're ready. And when we talk about like the co-creator stuff, most people I've met with and had lunch with or dinner with or whatever, they will tell me exactly what they are doing.
The real ones do.
It's the fakers that hide.
Yeah.
That hide all their ideas. Like my entire farming process, we do 10,000 condos a month. Like Brick get a lot of listings from it. Mm-hmm. A guy in my office that was crushing it with farming 5 years ago and still is. I was like, I'm going to take you out for lunch. Please tell me anything you're willing to tell me. I'll promise I will never farm to the area that you farm to. I just need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And he laid it out for me and I did it and it worked. And so it's just so crazy. See, like people are willing to share because there's still a very small percentage of the people that will, you know, do the thing, right?
Never. I've been listing appointments with people. And I explained to my clients the strategy. And I'm like, you can't get this with anybody else because I own the data, right? Like, here's my platforms. Here's how I do it. And the one platform, like this platform, my YouTube mm-hmm. channel and my Instagram account, I show my competition how to do what I'm doing. But I know 99% of them are not going to do it consistently enough that it's going to make a tangible impact. The 1% that do are going to make me go make new ideas and find new things. They'll make me better. Or I'll just... maybe I will collaborate with them and they'll start working with me, right? Like who knows what the future holds, but I don't think that there's any benefit to you trying to hold back something that is your secret sauce, because eventually somebody's going to come along and take that, and you need to always be going to get new, fresh ideas, right?
100%. Like it's just so cool to see the growth of me and people around me through the sharing of ideas, and like built really good friendships.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's fun to talk to people that are doing the same thing you're doing, or they like the same things you like. And some of these people, like Steve Koresh, who I do the podcast with, we met through a mastermind group, through a coaching program we paid to be in. We were basically like forced to be friends. Like, you know, they put us together. And now he's one of my best friends and I talk to him all the time. And we would talk every week anyways. I'm like, let's just record ourselves. And that's where the podcast came from.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it's just the collaboration side of this industry is really cool. And especially if it's agents in your own market, you're going to work with them a bunch anyways. Might as well be on good terms.
Yeah, more than typically individual clients, right? I think that's such a good signal. I think it's what podcasts are meant to be. A lot of times people are using the podcast as, say, a recruiting funnel or whatnot, and they can do whatever they want. Truthfully, I find that I like doing it because I would have had this conversation with you anyways, whether it be in person or on the phone, geek out about YouTube, talk about business. I mean, I'm going to have you on another podcast to talk maybe systems and operations because I know you run a great team, but I want to value your time. I want to give you a little bit of time before your next meeting because you made time for this. But I genuinely want to know, like, you probably have a grasp on, okay, I got to put out content consistently. This is my base. This is my team. There's like an 80, there's a 20% that brings your 80% of your business that you're excellent at. What is the thing that you're excited about that maybe you suck at, or you are working towards getting good at, or I guess what's that next big thing that excites you right now?
I love to look at business from like a bird's eye view perspective, right? Like as if I could just stand back, look at everything, move the chess pieces. That excites me. Mm-hmm. Being active in the trenches doesn't excite me as much as it used to. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to build out that side of things where I'm still very much involved with listings, team communication, education, content. You know, I'm still very much in everything, right? And even when I go away on vacation, I'm like, even if I'm not doing the things, I'm wondering what's going on with things. So what excites me is taking that next step from owner operator to just owner, probably.
Yeah. Okay. What do you use for project management right now?
Well, we used Monday for a while and then went off of it. And now we're back to just like our regular CRM that we just put everything through.
You and I could chop it up on that all day long. I've done them all of Trello, Monday, Asana, Google Workspace, or CRM. And there's something in something I discovered recently that I'll share with you off channel in terms of what that looks like to still feel like you got your hands on everything, but be able to step back and work operationally. Appreciate you making the time for the episode. I'm going to shoot my market update. Tom Story's fingerprints are going to be on it. So make sure you give him a follow, connect with him directly. Any parting words for the audience or any message you want to leave with everybody out there?
This is coming out in June, right?
I'll get it out ASAP. It'll be out next week.
So, I mean, over 40% of the year is done, right? It's going to be nice weather, and with potential more rate hikes coming, there's going to be a lot of chatter out there. Who cares? Turn off the TV, have tunnel vision, help the people that need help. Some people have to move regardless of all the other stuff going on in the world. Help them. Be good at your job and don't read tweets all day that make you feel like a bad person just because you're trying to help people buy homes. That would be my advice.
Yeah, you are what you read.